This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour open-line talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. To express your viewpoint, please call 804-754-1988. That's 804-754-1988. And now, with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to the whole world, and then shall the end come. Welcome to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Crismeyer. Today, we go on a rapid excursion. In fact, if you want to do it in mountaineering terms, we're going to go on a Himalayan ascent here today, tying together many of the developments in our world that are going to be so breathtaking, that are going to be so comprehensive, that you are going to have to, in mountaineering language, have a good firm anchor and a strong belay. I hope you have your ropes handy, your pitons, your carabiners, and all of the things that are going to be necessary to ascend this incredible mountain of material that we're going to be looking at today. You know, a lot of people think that penultimate assault or climb in the world is that of Mount Everest, which is the highest spot on top of sea level in the earth. But actually, perhaps one of the most difficult climbs is a mountain called Annapurna. And very few have ever climbed that. It's taken very many lives and a toll on many families as those who have attempted to ascend its seemingly almost impenetrable walls have met their demise. Well, many people, as we look at the developments in our world that are happening in breathtaking speed around us, are going to find themselves falling away, falling by the wayside. They're not going to be able to hang in there. They're not going to be able to ascend. They're going to put their oxygen tanks on, but they're still so out of shape spiritually, out of shape emotionally, out of space shape physically, that they are not going to be able to endure the rapid developments that are going to be taking place. So, friends, if I cannot somehow encourage you and coach you in any other thing, I want to encourage you and coach you to be strong. To be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. To put on the whole armor of God, that you might be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all to stand with your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness the helmet of salvation, carrying the sword of the Spirit and the shield of faith, with which you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the evil one, with your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, if you have all that equipment together, you are going to be able to ascend to the places where you need to go emotionally and morally and spiritually, and you're going to be able to keep it together. But if you are not so equipped, you're not going to be ready. It's going to overtake you. And that's exactly what the scriptures foretell. They do not put it in mountaineering terms, but rather they put it in just basic life terms. And that is that God calls us to be overcomers, but not everybody is going to be an overcomer, just like not everybody that pretends to ascend Mount Everest or Annapurna is able to reach the summit. Many begin, but few complete the task. The Apostle Paul put it a little differently. He said, many begin the race, but few complete the race. They run the race for an earthly prize, or they climb the mountain for an earthly prize, but we do so for a heavenly and eternal prize. And I hope that that is your viewpoint. People will put thousands and thousands of dollars and years of training and put themselves at great risk in harm's way in order to ascend to one of the highest spots on earth. But how many Christians are willing to train like that? How many Christians really see life in those terms? No, it's just kind of an easy day for a lady, so to speak, lollygagging around, hanging out at the spiritual beach, and hoping that everything is wonderful and everything is cool, when in fact, things are coming apart at the seams. Well, that's enough for us to get started here today on Viewpoint, and because so many are not able to continue listening on terrestrial radio because their signals are required to be turned down by law at dusk, I want to just make a couple of other comments to you very quickly before we launch out into the deep here and begin this rapid ascent of the prophetic and political and other issues that are taking place in our world. These are the trends that we're looking toward in 2011 and 2012. You don't want to miss any of this because, friends, if you do, you're just not going to comprehend and understand how the pieces are coming together. Yesterday we did a program dealing with the assault, the world assault, or the assault on the world's boundaries. This is another way of looking and encapsulating one of the major developments and trends of our times from a biblical and prophetic viewpoint. Today we look at a whole raft of issues to tie together from a prophetic viewpoint the development where we are in history and where we are in prophecy. Now, we have a few of the Jewish calendars left, and they're $13, but we're making it available to you for your $10 or more to Save America Ministries. These are the calendars that have both the Jewish calendar and the Gregorian calendar that we operate in together, and show you all of the Feasts of the Lord there with a very detailed description of their historic significance, their current significance, and their prophetic significance, so that you're able to track with that and understand what's developing. You see, those feasts were God's way of demonstrating to the Jewish people His prophetic plan for them and for the world. And so we need to understand those. Again, $10 to Save America Ministries. Call us 1-800-SAVE-USA. You will not find them on our website. You'll have to call us or write. Call us at 1-800-SAVE-USA. $10 plus $5 postage and handling. We'll put those calendars in your hands. In addition to that, I want to just indicate to you that these are very, very difficult days. It seems that the closer we come to the second coming and the ultimate moment of the culmination of history, the more difficult it is to finance the ministry to get out the message for this time. And if you are moved by this program, if it is stirred in your heart, I want to urge you to take seriously the opportunity to support what we're doing. You truly will be a partner with us to get out an end time message for to the people of our planet. Again, this program goes all over the world, and I want to urge you to do that. Send your gifts by faith to Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia 23255. Again, that's Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia 23255. Now, again, gird yourself for the climb. Get on your harness. Get on your cold weather attire. We're going to ascend now to the heights of development in our world. Stay tuned.
They are here. The end times are upon us. The prophesied last days are exploding in our world. Our TV screens almost scream, Jesus is coming. The birth pangs flash before our eyes. Jesus called these the beginning of sorrows. But what was it that dominated Jesus' concern about the end of the age? It was deception. Jesus' words to his disciples just before his crucifixion were chilling. He said, take heed that no man deceive you, and these words echo through the centuries to us. Paul called them perilous times. He warned that seducers would wax worse and worse. So how can we escape the seduction of the saints? Chuck Chrismeyer answers that question in his powerful new book, Seduction of the Saints. Order your copy of Seduction of the Saints for your gift of $18 to Save America Ministries. Call 1-800-SAVE-USA. That's 1-800-SAVE-USA. Seduction of the Saints will grip your attention. attention from page 1. Call 1-800-SAVE-USA. Call 1-800-SAVE-USA. That's 1-800-SAVE-USA. You will not be disappointed. Call 1-800-SAVE-USA today.
Thinking about buying gold but don't know where to turn? You might have responded to one of those slick television ads and been hounded by coin jockeys every day trying to sell you the special of the week. There is a better way. FAMC has been helping clients protect their hard-earned assets for over a quarter century. No, they're not coin jockeys. They're seasoned professionals helping their clients storm-proof their assets in these uncertain times. If you're looking for some Johnny-come-lately discount gold dealer, FAMC is not that. But if you're looking for sound and seasoned advice and direction in purchasing precious metals from a reliable source, call today and find out more about FAMC. Call 800-325-0919 for a free economic education package and stormproofing your assets brochure. Whether you need to protect your money in the bank, IRAs, 401k, retirement plans, or even trust for the next generation, call an industry leader, FAMC. Call them at 800-325-0919 and get peace of mind when it comes to your money. 800-325-0919.
I hope you're roped up with your crampons on, your ice axe in your hand, ready to ascend to the heights of history and prophecy as we go through the developments that are taking place as we speak, looking toward 2011 and the summit of history that is approaching very rapidly, friends. Things are going to be falling around. There's going to be ice falls. There are going to be crevasses. There are going to be dangerous slopes ahead. It is going to be a fascinating, thrilling climb as we continue on from 2010 into 2011 toward 2012. So stay tuned here today on Viewpoint as we take a look at some of these developments. Now, going back to Israel for a moment, in 2010, it was a record year for tourism in Israel. 3.45 million arrivals registered in Israel. The statistics released on Monday showed 26% more visitors than Israel had seen a year before and 14% more than in 2008, which was Israel's previous record-setting year. Now, this tells me that the world is increasingly focusing on Israel. Not just the Jews, but the world in general. The world is being drawn to Israel. Now, the majority of those are Christians. The majority of incoming tourists this last year were 69% Christian, 23% were Jewish. Now, isn't that interesting that Christians are being drawn to Israel in higher percentages by 2.5 times than the Jewish people? I believe that this is what we could expect from the biblical viewpoint, from prophecy and so on, because the scriptures foretell, in fact, the ancient prophets of the Old Testament foretold that the Gentiles would flood toward he that is a Jew, would grab hold of the skirt of he that is a Jew, and will see that the Lord is with you, and will come and help pave the way and pay the way for Israel to be developed in fulfillment of biblical prophecy. We're seeing it with these numbers right here. It's quite amazing, I think. As in previous years, the United States continued to lead with 625,000 visitors, representing 19% of all income tourism. Tourism from Russia, believe it or not, followed in second place with 560,000 visitors. And the reason for that is that Russia has been one of the premier epicenters of Jewish life since the diaspora took place and the expulsion of the Jews in 70 AD by the Roman Empire. French tourists comprise the third largest category, totaling 285,000. And I believe the reason for that is that France is becoming very unfriendly to Jewish people, particularly because of the massive Muslim insurgency in France. And so Jewish people are increasingly making, they're going to Israel to test the waters to see about making Aliyah or returning to move to Israel. Now, moving from those in the tourism branch, let's talk about those that have actually moved or made Aliyah, which means to go up to Jerusalem or go up to Israel. Aliyah has risen the second straight year, nearing the 20,000 mark, 16% rise in Aliyah compared to the previous year. It was the second year in a row that Aliyah has seen a steady rise. The biggest proportional increase in Aliyah from a single country over the past year was from, you're not going to believe it, Venezuela, which sent 150 people, a spike of 280% from the previous year. And the Jewish community in Venezuela is in sharp decline over the past 10 years, and there are only maybe 10,000 Jews left in that country than there were 10 years ago. So, what we're seeing is that the Jewish people are making their way from the countries of the world, for various reasons, back to Israel. While South America saw the biggest relative increase in Aliyah, the majority of new immigrants, some 40%, came from the former Soviet Union. Now, it was from the Soviet Union that the first million Jews came after the fall of the Iron Curtain. You see, the fall of the Iron Curtain was not for democracy's sake, it was for the Jews' sake. It was to fulfill biblical prophecy because God had said that he was going to deliver the Jewish people first from the north. And that's exactly what he did. They were dispersed to the north, and from the north he delivered them first. A million people. But there have been a lot of Jews left there. But guess what? Anti-Semitism is rising dramatically in Russia. Just as the avenue for the Christian church in Russia is closing very quickly, so the avenue of freedom and even escape for Jewish people in Russia is closing quickly. 40% of the 20,000 who made Aliyah came from the former Soviet Union, with roughly 1,000 people arriving from the Russian capital of Moscow. So, the figures regarding the growth in Aliyah from almost all parts of the world are particularly uplifting, says the report from the Jerusalem Post, because of the war of delegitimization that's being waged against the state of Israel all around the world. The number of North American Jews making Aliyah to Israel rose from 3,767 in 2009 to 3,980 in 2010. So, we're seeing the number of Jewish people returning to Israel in fulfillment of biblical prophecy, and it's accelerating. It's not just creeping along now, it's accelerating, and we're going to see, as we move into next year, I believe that the scriptures make this very plain. In the next 2 years, we are going to see a massive, unprecedented resurgence or increase of Jewish people from around the world making Aliyah to Israel, and that includes from the United States. Now, after the decades of decline, the total number of Jews in the whole world has increased slightly now in 2010. The size of world Jewry at the beginning of 2010 was assessed at 13,428,000, less than 0.2% of the world's total population of 6.9 billion people. This means that one in about 510 people in the world is a Jew. That's a very small remnant of people. So why is the whole world so upset with the Jewish people? Why is it that they're increasingly pointing their fingers at the Jewish people as the source for the world's problems? Interesting, isn't it? Just as the biblical prophets foretold, there's going to be massive persecution rising against the Jewish people. But until that comes to fruition, the number of Jewish people is going to grow. And they're going to make Aliyah to Israel. Unfortunately, the persecution of the Jewish people is going to grow to such an extent that the world as a whole will come against them with everything that they can. And at the same time, They're going to come against Christians. As with the Jew, so with the Christian. Now, we see this happening in Britain, believe it or not. In Britain! This is our mother country, friends. Hostility to Israel in Britain public life is not new. Nowadays, much of the intellectual assault takes the form of delegitimization, a new label for an assault which has been building up for many years in Britain. Now, by the way, this is an article coming out of Britain. Just came out Sunday, December 26th. Israel's unpopularity in Britain. Analysts routinely highlight flagrant examples of this assault, like Israel apartheid weeks. Nasty cartoons depicting Zionist control of the media, picketing of Israeli retail outlets, boycott campaigns, and the intimidation of pro-Israel speakers on British campuses. While it's important to highlight these episodes, they only tell half the story. And why is that? Because they're just symptoms of a much deeper phenomenon, namely the polite endorsement of rejectionist ideas about Israel within British liberal intelligentsia. This endorsement is following a pattern. It's unspectacular at first, and it meets virtually no resistance, but it's like drops of water, that Chinese torture thing, you know? And it's this process which creates a conducive atmosphere for delegitimization of Israel. And so Israel's narrative, the very story of Israel, is vanishing from British public life. And as a result, Israel's legitimacy is being steadily eroded. And as its legitimacy is being eroded, so is antagonism toward the Jew. Now, that's in Britain, friends. That is one of the premier seedbeds of the Christian faith. That's where the King James Bible came from 400 years ago this next year. We're heading toward the 400th year celebration of the printing of the King James Bible. And it's almost like an in memoriam. This is a very dramatic time that we're in. And as we grapple with these various issues, it's like a mountaineer, you see, that's trying to find his route up through the labyrinthine couloirs and ridges and ice falls and so on, ascending a massive peak in the Himalayas. It's very dangerous. The world is becoming a very, very dangerous place. And friend, if you are not roped up with fellow Christians who truly believe the Word of God, if you are not deeply anchored in the authority of the Word of God, and in the faith, and obeying God, and following His precepts, you are in danger of being swept aside by the avalanches that are going to be coming down the dangerous slopes of history and prophecy that are coming before us. I hate to have to put it so bluntly, but it's true. Just read your Bible. Now, even as the number of Jews grows throughout the world, so the antipathy toward the Jews is growing, and the antipathy toward Christians is growing proportionately. Just as the Scripture says there will be a great attack upon the Jews before the great and terrible day of the Lord, so there will be a massive attack upon Christians. It's called persecution, friends. And we're going to see later on in the program just how severe that is becoming. Even the Washington Times is getting in on it. Stay tuned. This is Viewpoint. Viewpoint does determine destiny, friends. And it's time that we take seriously our times and prepare the way of the Lord in our lives for history's final hour. Are you going to endure to the end? Are you going to make it to the summit? I hope so. We'll be back.
are in USA Radio News. I'm Hope Duggar. Several people have been hurt at Maine's tallest ski mountain where a chairlift derailed in high winds. The Sugarloaf Resort says about six people were injured when five chairs plunged 25 to 30 feet to the slope below. None of the injuries are thought to be life-threatening. A man who was on the lift next to the broken one said he saw the lift bouncing up and down, calling it terrifying.
I heard a noise. I heard people screaming. I looked to my left. The cable was bouncing up and down. And at that point, I knew something awful had happened.
Inspectors are examining two U.S. Airways planes that bumped each other on a St. Louis runway this morning while preparing to de-ice. Officials at Lambert Airport say no one was hurt and the damage appears to be minimal, but both flights were canceled. It's still a struggle to fly out of the New York City area after a snowstorm forced the cancellation of 5,000 flights since Sunday night. The three major airports have reopened, but travel experts say it could take several days to rebook all the displaced passengers. This is IRN, USA Radio News.
Is the IRS ruining your life? Are you afraid of losing everything? You can end the despair you feel right now. Get ready to write down an important phone number you're going to need to help solve your IRS nightmare. The number is 800-584-1095.
Hello, I'm John Harris, president of J.K. Harris & Company, the nation's largest tax representation firm. IRS problems have a way of ruining every aspect of your life if you let them. They don't go away on their own. The IRS can attach your wages, your pension, your savings, even your Social Security check. Over the past decade, the tax team at J.K. Harris has successfully negotiated settlements for our clients, saving them millions of dollars.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, call J.K. Harris at 800-584-1095. You may qualify to dramatically reduce your tax debt. Call 800-584-1095. That's 800-584-1095.
With an IRN USA Business News Update, I'm Hope Duggar. Holiday shoppers have been in the mood to spend big. MasterCard Advisor Spending Pulse, which monitors all transactions including cash, says total consumer spending excluding autos rose 5.5% to $584.3 billion from November 5th through December 24th. It's the biggest increase since 2007 when revenue rose 4.9%. Total sales surpassed 2007 holiday spending, which reached $566.34 billion. The data show clothing sales rose 11.2%. Also, jewelry and luxury goods showed strong single-digit gains compared with a year ago. Analysts say shoppers look for big bargains and, when possible, handed over cash. President Obama will look to finalize the appointment of a top economic advisor after he returns from his Hawaiian vacation next week. It's a decision that could signal a new direction for the administration as it struggles to jumpstart the economy and wrestle down unemployment. With an IRN USA Business News Update, I'm Hope Duggar.
Dialogue that demands our consideration here and decision. Talk that transforms as we continue our mountaineering venture here in these end times, persevering toward the summit, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, even as the world is careening rapidly into desperate positions on the slopes of these massive political and prophetic mountains that we're engaged in right now. This is a very dangerous time in world history, friends, and that's why you must be deeply anchored in the Word of God. You've got to have your spiritual pitons and anchors and chocks and your anchors, your ropes and so on, well tied and tethered. And you've got to have all the armor of God put together. Otherwise, you are going to be in danger of being swept away in the avalanches of the massive, massive weight of prophetic and political developments that are taking place in our world. Now, try this, for instance. This report comes from the EU Observer. The EU Observer. It came December 20th. The U.S. and the EU are hoping to construct an 800 million citizen strong market with converging regulatory regimes whose standards will set the benchmark for product rules the world over. Now, let's take a look at this. We're talking about the European Union that has somewhere around 400 million, 450 million people. We're talking about the U.S., which, according to recent census figures, reveals 310 million inhabitants of the U.S. Then we're also talking about, perhaps, the Mediterranean Union that Mr. Sarkozy, 2 years ago, brought together to unite with the European Union, comprising 44 nations in Europe and around the Mediterranean, which he said, or which the British Independent publication said, was the reestablishment of the footprint of the ancient Roman Empire. Now, on December 20th, this report came from the EU Observer. The EU and the United States are seeking regulatory convergence on future technology. At a meeting of joint EU-US Transatlantic Economic Council on Friday, December 17th, described as fantastic by American officials, the two sides backed a plan to try to seek common recognition for each other's standards in new areas of product development, from nanotechnology to electric cars, to leverage the power of the world's two biggest markets to shepherd regulation and standard development elsewhere on the planet. Initially, the EU and U.S. want to focus laws relating to energy efficiency, e-health, nutritional labeling, electric cars, and toy safety. The U.S., for its part, will provide its counterpart with a regulatory plan by next week, and the EU will return the favor with a similar outline soon. This group, the Transatlantic Economic Council, is a meeting in search of a purpose, according to some critics. It has found its calling, according to America's ambassador, William Kennard, as a site for the coordination of regulatory convergence. Now, when I see that word convergence, it makes me very, very nervous, because it's a word that is used in the New Age world. It's a spiritual term. It is a moving together, a coalescing of the forces of the earth, a convergence. Speaking to reporters in Brussels on Monday, Kennard said there was a spirit of cooperation and camaraderie not seen in the past and a sense of urgency. Friends, this is coming together very quickly. Now, what is this, though? This is the unfolding manifestation of what George W. Bush began in the year 2007, just before he left office, when he met with Angela Merkel of Germany and Barroso of Spain and secretly pledged to unite the economies of the United States and Europe within 7 years. Now, if you add 7 years to 2007, you're at 2014. That should begin to give you some timeline parameters of what is happening in the fulfillment of biblical prophecy. The purpose of this regulatory convergence is clear. Its purpose is to present an overwhelming pattern to the other nations and regional governments of the earth to do exactly the same thing and join with them in what will become a global regulatory government over all technology. Think about that. Now, put this in context with that. This report just came from Scotland. Biometric ID check on Scots school children as young as four. Dozens of Scottish schools have introduced intrusive biometric systems such as fingerprinting to identify pupils as young as four. 68 schools are now using technology to manage their meals, control library books, and even allow access to toilets. Two-thirds of these schools are primary schools where fingerprinting and palm recognition can be used to identify these young kids. Critics say the extent which the technology was being used in Scotland schools was very worrying. The biometric ID systems are in use for cashless catering in 4 primary and 8 secondary schools. Now, friends, this is just a model in Scotland of what is being tried also in America and in Europe. And the goal, you see, as this EU and U.S. regulatory convergence moves on through the Transatlantic Economic Council to its fruition, is to bring the entire planet under this kind of technological, intrusive, biometric control. That should bring to your mind a passage of Scripture called Revelation 13, in which the infamous mark of the beast is discussed. A mark that will be required of every man, woman, and child pledging your allegiance to this new global system of convergence, regulatory convergence, to bring peace on earth, goodwill toward men, to do an end run around the sacrifice of Jesus Christ for forgiveness of sin, and to bring every man, woman, and child into some sort of global reconciliation to the rest of the world so that we can have peace on earth without the Prince of Peace. Now, that's going to require Satan's counterfeit Prince of Peace called the Antichrist or the Son of Perdition. I believe that he's already on the planet and being prepared. And I think these things are happening very, very quickly, friends. And that's why you must take seriously in preparing your children. If you were going to have to take them out into the wild, if you were going to have to take them on an expedition, you would want them to be ready, wouldn't you? You would want to have them trained. You wouldn't want them to go out there and not be acclimatized. You wouldn't want them to be gasping for breath when you could have prepared them for the journey, would you? So why is it that so many Christians and their pastors are refusing to prepare the people for what is coming? They just refuse. They think this is just going to be some sort of an easy day for a lady kind of a thing. That's not what my Bible says. In fact, Jesus himself said, "He that endures to the end shall be saved." Now, that's not talking about living to the end. That's talking about living faithfully to the end. That's going to be the problem. To stay with the program, submitted to God and his purposes, rather than to the grand purposes of the regulatory convergence being perpetrated upon the world. And we just barely started here today.
But I'm ready now. I'm waiting for your triumphant return. You're coming soon. So people get ready. Jesus is coming soon. We'll be going home. People get ready.
Water is precious. In fact, you can live without food for a long time, but you can't live without water, clean water. But what if clean water suddenly becomes unavailable? What do you do if a natural disaster or terrorist attack strikes? What if purification and pumping stations don't operate? Then what? That's where the big Berkey purification system comes in, and we've used them in our extended family for years. The Berkey's long been recognized as the ultimate in water purification. It requires no power, works on gravity feed, and is super simple to use, and it's beautiful to sit on your counter in polished stainless steel. But best of all, it removes harmful chemicals and bacteria without removing healthful minerals. It's the perfect solution with even better purifying elements than ever before. So get your big Berkey today. Call 1-800-SAVE-USA. That's 1-800-SAVE-USA. Your gift of $339 will put this state-of-the-art purifier in your home. Call 1-800-SAVE-USA today. That's 1-800-SAVE-USA.
According to Javelin Research, every 3 seconds, another identity is stolen. This year, nearly 10 million people will have their identities, credit cards, and bank account numbers stolen. Some think credit monitoring alone is enough, but that won't help stop identity theft or help you repair the damage. LifeLock does both. LifeLock monitors over 10,000 black market websites for your information. They request free annual credit reports and request your name be removed from pre-approved credit card offers. And if you become a victim of identity theft while a member of LifeLock because of a failure in their service, they'll help you fix it. Up to $1 million. Restrictions apply. Call for details. Why risk suffering the cost of identity theft when the cost to help protect it is so low? The call takes just minutes. Call now and mention Radio 10 for 10% off. That's like 1 month free. Call 1-800-308-4983. 1-800-308-4983. That's 1-800-308-4983.
I've got to tell you, it's bitterly cold on this ascent of these final several thousand feet to the pinnacle of biblical prophecy and world history that we are moving toward. And if you are not properly clothed, you're going to freeze to death. You're going to end up losing toes. You're going to get spiritual frostbite, and you just might not be able to endure. And let me ask you this question. As you're ascending these desperate slopes, very, very steep and trying, taking every ounce of endurance that you can muster, just as if you were climbing some Himalayan peak, what are you going to do if you slip? What are you going to do if you don't take the right step exactly perfectly and you lose your balance? If you're not roped in to the body of Christ, if you are not seriously roped into people who truly believe, who are living according to the Word of God and not playing religious games, my friend, you are in danger of losing your life, not just physically, but spiritually. That's why Jesus said, "He that endures to the end shall be saved." It's not a game. For many, it's going to be a life or death situation. And this is the reason why the writer of the Hebrews said that as we see the day of the Lord's return approaching, that we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the matter of some is, but rather, the closer we come to the summit of the second coming of Jesus Christ, we should the more so be gathering together and keep ourselves roped up in the faith because of the exceeding deceitfulness of sin. Now, I got to tell you, you climb high mountains and it becomes very deceitful. It really does. You're losing, you're giving so much energy and your oxygen level is so depleted. Even if you're on oxygen, you're so depleted. Everything in you is crying to quit. And you lose judgment. You begin to move into things like hypothermia, hypoxia, and you begin to find that your judgment is impaired. Friends, this is one of the reasons why you need the body of Christ. Because you are prone to spiritual hypothermia, and it can kill you. Now, I'm trying to coach you here because what is about to happen in our planet is nothing short, in a spiritual sense, of a Himalayan climb.
That's why the prophet Joel and the prophet Amos talked about the day of the Lord and said, why do you desire the day of the Lord? It's a day of darkness and gloominess. It's going to be very difficult. On the other hand, we should desire and look forward to the appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And those who are looking for His appearing, the Scripture says, will be blessed. So we want to keep our eyes on the summit. We don't want to be discouraged. And you know what? As you're climbing, if you've ever tried to climb a mountain, you know that there are false summits oftentimes along the ways. And you get your heart set on that false summit, and you think that you're there, and you expend what you think is your last bit of energy to get, and you realize you didn't get to the top. So you can't claim that you got to the top. How many people, how many mountaineers have gotten within a few hundred yards of the top and had to turn back? But friends, in this particular climb, this spiritual climb, there is no turning back. You have to proceed toward the mark. And you got to be prepared. And you got to be roped up. You don't want to just do it solo. It's very dangerous to try to climb solo. It may tweak your pride, but it can also kill you. How many famous climbers have died soloing, like Herman Boole, George Mallory? Now, enough of that for the moment. Let's move on, because we have a lot more to talk about, because there are other ridges and desperate slopes ahead. For instance, this from the British Telegraph: Eurozone debt crisis is spreading to Belgium. Now, we've heard it in Ireland, it's in Greece, it's in Portugal, it's in Spain, and now they're talking about it spreading to Belgium and threatening the entire EU. Now, the next article is China and Russia quitting the dollar. Russia and China have decided to renounce the U.S. dollar and resort to using their own currencies for bilateral trade. In other words, the U.S. dollar is being rejected increasingly by the nations of the earth as the basic unit of trade in the world. What will that do to the U.S. and its ability to maintain any kind of authority or power in the earth? And this article, then, on the heels of that, so what happens if the dollar and the euro both collapse? Well, that may very well be exactly what will happen. I can't say for sure. But what we do know is that there's going to be a global currency. The leaders of our world have been calling for it for a year now, a global currency. And it's coming. Just as the global biometrics and global regulatory convergence on technology is coming, so is a global currency. Then, a global faith. This came from Britain Today. Muslim, Baha'i, and Zoroastrian chaplains are to be recruited for the House of Commons in Britain under plans by the Speaker's office to be more inclusive of different faiths. It will also include representatives of the Hindu, Buddhist, and Jainist faith religions. At present, the Speaker's chaplain is the only person allowed to say the prayers before each day's sitting, and the role has been filled by Anglican cleric since the office was created in the year 1660. Friends, that's just a few years after the King James Bible came out. And now, with Britain completely rejecting not only the King James Bible, rejecting its authority for life and practice in its entire society, now we have the Right Reverend Richard Chartres, Bishop of London, who is talking about the benefits of a multi-faith
chaplaincy. You see, even the leaders, the so-called Christian leaders of Britain, are abandoning the faith in favor of a one-world religion, merging the faiths. Now, if you don't think that that is important, if you don't understand, try this. Political correctness is causing us to cave once again, writes Jan Marco, who is a friend of mine. The Memorial Drive Presbyterian Church in Houston, along with Christian communities in Atlanta, Seattle, and Detroit, initiated a series of sermons that have been designed to produce an ecumenical reconciliation between Christianity and Islam. In addition to the sermons, the Sunday school lessons centered on the inspired teachings of the Prophet Muhammad. Qurans were placed in the pews next to the Bibles. And as a matter of fact, a new term has been coined for this effort between Christians and Muslims, Chrislam. Chrislam. Friends, Jesus is mentioned 25 times in the Quran, but belief in the divinity of Jesus is absolutely condemned by Islam as filth. Now, much more we could talk about this Chrislam movement, but it just coincides with what's happening in Britain, with what's happening throughout Europe, what's happening in the political correctness and the submission to Islam through political correctness throughout the United States and the entire Western world. The church now is participating in bringing the children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob under submission to Islam. From the Washington Times, Christians across the Middle East are in peril. Muslim fanatics seek to exterminate them. Now, I don't have time to go into this complete article, but friends, it will curdle your blood. It'll cause the hair on the back of your neck to stand up. You will realize the extreme danger on the exposed ridges of this massive political and prophetic mountain that we are climbing. There is an outright effort to completely destroy Christianity in the very nations where it had its initial impetus. In addition to that, English doomed as a global language. Here's the book, The Last Lingua Franca, English Until the Return to Babel, or Babel. Babylon, remember? The Tower of Babel? Now, they're saying all those different languages, remember how God confused the languages? No problem. Now technology will enable us to all speak the same thing and understand one another. Yeah, I mean, that's the title of the book. Now, a chip that makes computers 20 times faster, ultra fast, in order to enable the technological fulfillment of the mark of the beast. And then finally, from the British broadcasting company News Technology, 3D printing, printing physical objects. Sounds an awful lot like the description of the image created to the beast. Revelation 13, you might want to read it. Just before the mark of the beast, the great image, 3D creation. Is it a holograph? What is this that's coming? Creating our own God? Visibly? Thanks for joining us here on Viewpoint. I want you to be safe in this climb, friends. Make sure you prepare. I want to urge you to become a partner with us. Send your gifts by faith to Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 7 0879, Richmond, Virginia 23255. Don't delay. Do it today. Don't wait for somebody else to do it. Help us to get out a message to prepare the way of the Lord for history's final hour. Let's climb it together.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host and guests and are not necessarily those of the Information Radio Network, its affiliates, stations, or advertisers.